the parable of the seed growing. Last week we were looking at the parable of the sower. Now, many of you, you know where we stay. We live in Minnewood, Ndeke, and we have a small plot. We have a small plot in Minnewood, Ndeke, where we grow maize. And with the rainy season approaching, like many farmers, Susan hired local workers to prepare the ground. She understands that the growth and successful harvests of maize largely depends on the quality of the soil. This is the reason why she hired local workers to really quickly come and begin to prepare the ground. Now, in the last week's parable of the sower, the emphasis was very much on the condition of the soil. And the highlight was how the success growth varies with different types of soil, depending on the soil. Some soil are not well prepared enough to make sure that there is proper and good harvests and growth of the plant. So the focus was very much on the soil, the quality of the soil. However, Susan needs to think about purchasing seed, perhaps from the company known as Seedco, because a good harvest also relies on the quality of the seed. I'm sure you believe that, not just the soil. Now, in the parable of the growing seed, the focus now shifts towards the quality of the seed than the soil. Because the last week parable, the focus was very much on the quality of the soil, the quality of the ground, to ensure that there is successful growth and harvest. You need to have good soil. But in today's parable, the growing seed, the focus is not on the quality of the ground or the soil. The focus is now on the quality of the seed that you put in the ground. So this is very important. We have so many companies in Zambia that sell seed. One of them is Seedco, but not all offer good quality of seed. Susan needs to be very, very intentional. She needs to be very careful about where she buys a seed. Why? Because we know that poor quality seed will impact both the growth and the harvest of the maize. So we really have to be very intentional. Where do we go and where do we get the good quality of seed? We need to be choosy. We need to be very picky. We don't just go in town and get whatever seed we may need to get. Why? Because for us to have a successful growth and also to ensure that there's proper harvest, we need also to make sure that we get a proper quality of seed. Now listen to me. In Jesus' time, most Jews relied on farming. Actually, the majority of the people during Jesus' time were surviving, you know, through farming, you know. And they were very much familiar with the agricultural practices. This is the reason why Jesus uses his parables many times, drawing in the agricultural field, because that was not something that was unfamiliar to them. They were very much used to the agricultural practices. He uses many examples, like the one we had last week. Even the one that we are going to have next week, they are all drawn in the same field of agriculture, because the vast majority of the people during Jesus' time, they were surviving through farming. And so Jesus goes on now to give examples and of the kingdom of God, profound truths. Jesus draws those ones through the agricultural sector. However, the audience of Jesus Christ, the ones that Jesus was speaking at that particular time, they were living under the Roman rule. They were under the oppression of a very oppressive empire. They were very much burdened by heavy taxes. Even after harvesting, the Roman empire collected heavy taxes from them, and they were really under great oppression. They longed for a Messiah. They were looking forward to have the king from the line of David who is going to come and free them from their enemies and restore Israel to its former glory. That was their prayer. God, when are you going to bring the king that you actually promised, the king from the line of David, who is going to come and give us freedom from the Roman Empire? Because we are being oppressed and the taxes are just too heavy on us. It's more like a heavy burden on us. So they were actually expecting a kingdom that would come immediately. They were expecting a kingdom that will come with power, a kingdom that will be a political revolution. If it means to use violence in order to overthrow the Romans, this is what they're expecting. They're expecting a political king who is going to establish a political kingdom. This is what they're expecting, so that they may be freed from the oppression of the Romans and they may have peace in their land. But Jesus Christ surprised them by revealing that he was not the kind of king they anticipated. You'll see that in a minute as we go through the parable of the growing seed. And Jesus surprised them that his kingdom was not what they imagined. It was a different kind of kingdom altogether. And Jesus was a disappointment to many of them, because he was not a kind of king they anticipated. Even his kingdom was not a kind of kingdom they imagined. And this is the one, in fact, the biggest reason why he was rejected as a king, because he was not the kind of king they were actually expecting. They needed a king that will bring an immediate kingdom, visible, so spectacular, political, that will be able to free them from the hands of the Romans because of the oppression they were going through. Now, you can see this parable we have, the parable of the growing seed, in your Bibles. As I said, please do me a favor, keep your Bibles open. The parable has got three movements, or three phases, if you like, or three stages. And we're gonna go through all those three stages together. The first stage is the stage of the sowing of the seed. You can see that in verse 26. So you can see that the first phase is the growing of the seed. And the second phase, you'll see, is the growth of the seed. And the last one is the harvest of the seed. Three movements we have, or three phases in this parable, and we are going to explore these phases together, because each of these stages highlights a central truth. And the truth is that God is actively at work in the growth of his kingdom, often in ways that are beyond our understanding and contrary to our natural expectations. This is what we're going to see in this parable. So Jesus is going to bring a parable that's going to be a shocking truth, not only to the general public, but including his disciples. Because his followers, as they were following him, Peter and the rest of the apostles, they were all expecting that at some point Jesus would turn out to become a political ruler. He's going to establish the kingdom here, and he's going to chase out Pilate in the city, is going probably to be the governor of the city. Even the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, their song was a song of provocation. When they started singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, son of David, Hosanna, Hosanna, son of David," it was a song of provocation, trying to incite Jesus to bring about a revolution. Everyone was happy to say, "Today, no matter what, we are going to see the Roman rulers being overthrown by this King of David." That's what they were expecting. But they were disappointed, because the kind of kingdom that Jesus has come to establish is totally different from the one they were expecting. You'll see that in a minute as we go through this. And so this is the reason why I have entitled my sermon this morning, "The Mysterious Growth of God's Kingdom." The mysterious growth of the kingdom of God. Let's start with the first phase of the growth of the kingdom of God, which is unexpected. The first one, let's look at the sowing of the seed. And here we want to look at our duty, or our responsibility as human beings, to share the gospel. Our participation in the growth of the kingdom of God. This is very humbling, dear friends. When God has decided to establish his kingdom on the earth, his glorious and powerful and great kingdom, he has also invited people like you, people like me, to come and take part into the growth of the kingdom of God. So the first phase is talking about our human responsibility in the sharing of the growth of the kingdom of God. Look at verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. I want us to observe quickly three things under this heading. The first one is the great paradox of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, dear friend, is a glorious kingdom. Is the kingdom of the Creator God. Is the kingdom of the God who has created the universe. The great God who is above all gods, who has come to establish the kingdom. But look at the way Jesus likens this great kingdom. He likens the kingdom of God to just a simple and humble act of sowing seeds. This is a paradox we see. How can the great kingdom, which is glorious, being likened to just a very simple and humble act of sowing the seed, to the seed sowing? Look at that once again in verse 26. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of God is the reign of God that has actually breaking into this world through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we were reminded that not to everyone the mystery of the kingdom of God was given. The mystery of the kingdom of God was given to just the insiders, the believers. And that mystery, we were reminded last Sunday, is the message that the king has already arrived. And the king has come to establish a kingdom. But guess how? Guess how the kingdom of God has been established through the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. These are means that are really unexpected, because the Jewish people, they were expecting actually a political revolution. They were expecting someone who comes visibly in a more spectacular way to overthrow the empire of the Romans. But the kingdom of God has come in a way that we don't actually expect. And no one could figure out, actually last Sunday we were reminded that to understand that the kingdom of God is about the king who is Jesus, who has come to live and die and rise again, this was a mystery. This was not something that anyone could figure out by themselves. This is something that was given, and this is the message that needs to be actually spread around, that we are preaching the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is that actually the king has come. The kingdom of God has broken into our world. It has forcefully gone into the world that is already under the kingdom of the devil. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John says, we know that we belong to God, but the whole world is under the power of the evil one. The evil one is actually the ruler of this kingdom. If you don't believe that, because it comes from John, one of the apostles, Jesus himself confirms that in John chapter 14, verse 30. He says, now the time has come, the Son of God is going, but the ruler of this world, he's calling the devil the ruler of this world, the ruler of this kingdom. When Jesus was in the presence of the devil, right at the beginning of his ministry, the devil stood before him and said, you know what? If you bow down before me, I will give you all these kingdoms, you see, because it was given to me. Jesus did not actually argue against. He did not say you are lying. Jesus understands for sure that the whole world is under the power of this one. But in this kingdom of the devil, the evil kingdom, guess what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of light has broken into. It has gone through the person of Jesus, his life and death and resurrection. It has gone into, but Jesus likens the kingdom of God, which is so great and powerful, he likens it to just the sowing of the seed. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He told them, the Pharisees, guys, do not be surprised. When you see demon possessed being delivered, and you see those people who are sick being healed, and the work that I'm doing, this is a tangible sign that the kingdom of God has broken into the world. Because the king is just here with you. Look at that paradox, dear friend. The great kingdom of God that has broken into the world, the reign of Christ that has come, is just being likened to a very, you know, simple and humble act of sowing seed. This is a paradox. The second thing I want us to observe under the sowing of the seed is the privilege and responsibility that God has given to human beings like you and me in the growth of this powerful kingdom of God. Who are we? Because God is the self-existent God. Not only that, he's also the self-sufficient God. God does not need you and me to grow his kingdom. Because when God was created, the world and the earth, you and I, we were not there to help him. He doesn't need you, he doesn't need me. But God has chosen to invite mortal human beings like you and me to participate in the growth of the kingdom. What a privilege. What a great and huge responsibility we have. He can do it by himself. But he has chosen to use you, to use me, to grow his kingdom. It's our responsibility. Have a look at that verse once again in verse 26. It says, the kingdom of God is like if a man should scatter seed on the ground. This is a responsibility given to a human being. We know for sure at the beginning of ministry, this man in the parable as a man is Jesus himself. It's Jesus himself who has actually started by throwing the seed of the kingdom of God. And he has given that responsibility to a human being like you and like me to actually scatter the. It's a responsibility given to us. And I want you to keep that at the back of your mind, dear friend. That it is not just a privilege we've been given. It is both a privilege, but it's also a huge responsibility God has given us to actually participate in the growth of the kingdom of God that has broken into this world. But make sure, dear friend, as you understand your responsibility, that this is a privilege you have, make sure that what you are sowing is the quality of the good seed. Because you know for sure that the pulpit ministry is not meant here for political speeches. The political speeches is not the seed. It's not the quality of the seed we need to build the kingdom of God. So when you come on the pulpit and you change this pulpit, it becomes now a way for you to bring your political speech. What you are building is not the kingdom of God. What you are actually contributing is just a political party. This is not a political party. This is the kingdom of God. This is the church of Christ. So we need to make sure that the quality of the seed that is sown is exactly the message of the kingdom. What we were reminded last Sunday. Last Sunday we were told that the secrets of the kingdom of God is given is the message of the king. The king who has come not to overthrow the Roman rulers by his, you know, political power. It's a king who has come in a paradox way to live, to die, and to rise for the sins of his people. That's the message that we need to preach. When you are given an opportunity, dear friend, to stand on this pulpit, this is not a place for actually motivational speeches. This is not a seed that we need to plant. God has given us responsibility and great privilege, but make sure the seed that you have is of that good quality. And the good quality of the seed we are talking about is the message of the king who has come. So it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Paul. It's not about me. It's not the message about a human being here. It's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we promote every and single day. That's the message you need to preach. If that's the message you scatter, that's a great responsibility you have been given. Dear friend, what do you share with people around? Is this the message of the prosperity gospel that goes around like wildfire in Zambia? Everyone wants to hear something to please their hearts. The message that is being preached on the pulpit is not the message of the kingdom of God. We have a responsibility in the growth and establishment of the kingdom, but we must make sure that what we have is the real and genuine seed, the seed of the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, many of our gathering in Zambia, in Africa, people are busy building their small kingdoms. Small kingdoms, but not the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God requires a certain quality of seed. And that quality of seed is the message of the king. And the message of the king who has come not to give you good life in a way that you understand, who has come to reconcile you to the Father, who has come for forgiveness of sin. That's the responsibility you have. Do you do your responsibility, dear friend? Remember, it is both a privilege and a huge responsibility. Don't go and sow a different seed in people's lives. Don't go and sow a seed of no quality of the kingdom of God. Because what will come out is not going to be something to do with the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be something to do with you and your own small kingdom. I want you to see again, in the same heading of the sowing the seed, is the non-discriminatory nature of the human task. Have a look at verse 26 once again. The kingdom of heaven is as if a man should scatter the seeds on the ground. And so in this, it is very surprising, because in this parable, the sower is not choosing the ground. It's just scattering. Actually, the word to scatter is like throwing. The original word is that of throwing out. It's just throwing out without actually choosing a particular soil. That shows that it's not discriminating any soil against each other. It's just throwing. That is his responsibility. So we don't have to discriminate as we share the gospel. In our responsibility to share the message of the gospel, you know what? You have to share with whoever you meet. Whoever the Lord brings on your path, that person needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is your responsibility. It's not by mistake that particular friend is close to you. It's not by mistake, dear friend, God has brought that uncle closer to you. It's not by mistake that God has put you next to that neighbor. It's not by mistake. What the Lord wants, don't discriminate against each one. Share the gospel. Scatter the good news of the gospel with anyone you meet. When you have a great opportunity to sit on a bus next to this person, it is your responsibility to sow the quality of the seed. Make sure that the seed of the message is actually shared with people. Let me tell you this. Let me challenge you. If you don't know exactly how to explain the mystery of the gospel, your pastor knows. Tell that person, can you come to church? Invite them to church. You can even invite someone, like the way we've seen our brothers and sisters today, extending invitation to say, let's go to church, because that is your responsibility. That's not God's responsibility. It's your responsibility to share the love of God with the people you meet. If you can't explain much about the Bible, just invite them, even your friend. Invite them to church. If you've got a good book they can read, it is your responsibility to give them a good book. Why don't you read this book? It is your responsibility. This is not the responsibility of Paul and Michael. This is our responsibility. All of us together, we need to share the love of God with other people. Share your testimony of how God has actually transformed your life with the word of the gospel, with the people around you and your neighbors. Start with the people around you. Don't assume your sons and daughters are already believers. They may be in your home, but they've never come to the personal knowledge of the Savior. Always share with them, because God has given you opportunity with those children you have. Tomorrow after tomorrow, you may not be there. I always say that there's always sudden death. It is there. But God has given opportunity to have your children with you, especially you mothers. It is your responsibility not only to talk about mathematics and geography to them, but take advantage to tell them the message of the kingdom. Because the message of the kingdom will make them cross on the other side for eternity. Dear friend, we have that huge responsibility. If you are a father seated here, you are a priest in your house. Don't actually misuse your responsibility. How many times as a father do you sit with your wife? It is your responsibility to share the seed of the gospel with your wife. But unfortunately, you are not always there. You are the absent father. Because you are running away from this huge and great responsibility God has given you. It is your responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your wife, with your children. God has made you as a priest in that particular house. It is our responsibility, dear friends. Let's do that with the love of God. Make sure that the quality we share, we don't discriminate against. Whoever comes on our path is a soil into which we need to sow that particular seed of the grace of God. Some of you may have parents who are not even believers. Even when you visit them on their birthday, what a great opportunity to share the love of God. Even when you send a message to them on text message, just what an opportunity to, in that message, to include the gospel and share the message with them. Very important, dear friends. I'm here to challenge you that God has invited you, just you as a human being, to be part of the growth of the kingdom of God. As we are establishing Christ Church Lusaka, it's not going to grow with me alone. It's not going to grow with Michael alone. It's going to grow with, and it's going to grow with each one of us as we take up the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus. So I'm challenging each one of you to go there. You don't have to be a good preacher. Just be like that woman, Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman was not a great preacher, did not know the exegesis. All she did, she just went in the city and she said, "Guys, you know what? I have met the Messiah. You guys come, let us listen to the Messiah." That's the only message she actually delivered. This is what you can do. You may not know much about the Gospel of Mark, but just tell the people to say, "Guys, come, let us listen to the Word of God." It is your responsibility. And here's my challenge. Next week as you come, bring one person. Just one person. Begin to plan from today. The person who is going to come to church with you next Sunday. It is your responsibility. Once you manage to identify that person, begins to pray for that person, go and prepare the person, and then make sure that on Sunday that person is here. Why? Because it is your responsibility to share the gospel. Do not discriminate against each other. Make sure that you do that. It's very surprising. And you know, when you share the gospel, you know what surprises me, dear friend, here, is that the moment the seed was sown into the ground, that very moment, without delay, it begins to wake. It's very surprising. The moment you share the good news, the gospel of Jesus, with your friends and your neighbors, just there, the gospel has got practical implications. If you start waking. That was my first point. The sowing of the seed. Our duty to share the gospel of Jesus. The second point is the mystery of growth. The mystery of growth. And now here is trusting God's sovereign work. Your responsibility and your duty is simply to share the love of God with the people around you. And once you've shared, now it is no longer in your hands. This now, it is now in the sovereign work of God. You must trust the sovereign work of God who is going. Don't think you are wasting your time when you sow the seed of the gospel in the hearts of your husband. Don't call him a waste of time. When you sow the seed of the gospel in the heart of your wife, even if she's a stubborn wife, don't worry about sharing the gospel with them, because God is going to take that and begin to work. The growth of that seed of the Word of God does not depend on you. It depends on God. It's a mystery. It's the sovereign work of God that begins to work. Have a look at verse 27. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grow. I want you to take notes of the first thing there is the passive trust of the sower. The passive trust of the sower. The sower, after he has planted the seed, passively now, he begins to trust God. Where does he go? He sleeps and rises. He sleeps and gets up, which means the day goes on as always. He leaves that in the hands of God. It's no longer my work. This is now beyond me. I've done my part. I've shared the gospel. Now the growth of the gospel in the hearts of people depend entirely on God. That's my work. I did work on this passage and prayed about it. And my work is this morning is to share the gospel with you. I'm not going to go into your hearts. I can't. I don't know even the person who's listening here. I don't know. Some of you are not even attentive. I don't know. But I trust the sovereign work of God. I trust that once the seed is shared, God begins to work. But how? How is he working? You know, we are passive now. We trust God. He sleeps, rises night and day. The sower rests, knowing that the growth of the seed is now beyond his control. You ask me a question, how is God going to grow Christ Church Lusaka? I don't know. That's beyond me. How is God going to transform that brother who comes to your church every Sunday? How is God going to grow the spiritual life in that sister who sits on your sermon every Sunday? Because they don't seem to change. I don't know. But I trust God is at work in their hearts. I trust. When I preach the gospel on a Sunday like this, you are here listening to the word. My duty is to share the gospel of Jesus faithfully and powerfully into the heart. The rest is in the hands of God. God now begins to control. What should I do now? I should now go and sleep and rise up and days goes on. Tomorrow I'll be at work. I'll be at ACU. Life goes on like that. But a seed is already sown in people's life. Do you think the seed has gone into Moses' heart? Yes. Do you think the seed has gone into Sister Patricia's heart? Yes. Do you believe it's going to grow? I don't know. But I know God is at work. And then I trust the God who is sovereign and is working in people's lives. I can't go into the people's heart and begin to manipulate the word of God. I can't. That is beyond me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We should learn to trust, dear friend, the God who is with us. Go and relax. Don't think too much. The Lord is there. And look at that word. The word says, verse 27, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. You know, the word, you know, sprouts and like produces. You know, it emphasizes the hidden organic growth of the kingdom of God, which happens beyond human understanding. We don't understand how God grows. It surprises us. That's why when God grows his kingdom, it is really humbling. All of us, we are surprised. But if we've got our own mechanic way and tricks, we've got our own tricks to grow the church. You know, people manipulate other people. Sometimes they bring water, anointed boom, broom, anointed what? All those manipulations in order to grow the church. You don't grow the church with manipulations, dear friends. Yeah? Someone was told me like that in South Africa to say, you are a powerful preacher. No, you are a good preacher, but you're not a powerful preacher. That's what he told me. The brother was from Nigeria. He said, I like the way you preach. You are a very good preacher, but what you like is the power. You don't have the power. If we can work together, because me, I've got power. I've got power. So I can give you some chance. You know, you preach. Once you are done, then I stand and start saying, the power. We will grow the church. No, when I come back to the word of God here, dear friend, I understand the growth of the church is beyond me. It's beyond me. What I need to do is just to faithfully present the gospel to you. And after that, where do I go? I sleep and rise again. This is what the Bible says. He went and sleep, and then he rose again, and then he leaves everything in the hands of God. We don't manipulate the growth. Because once you begin to manipulate, it's no longer the kingdom of God, it's your own kingdom. Your small can timber you are trying to make. Brother Michael, can you put that in your vocabulary? Can timber. Yeah. Yes. It's very, very important to trust the God of harvest. This parable, dear friends, among so many parables in the Bible, this one gives me great comfort. There are times that I get frustrated. I think of Christchurch, Lusaka. I say, God, how are we going to grow? And the Lord reminds me of this parable to say, just preach the gospel. Just share the gospel of Jesus. Sleep and rise up and go to ACU and come back. And leave everything in my hands. I'm going to grow the kingdom. That's what we see. We see the passive trust of the sower. We are passive in how God grows his kingdom. It is hidden. It is organic beyond our understanding. But look at the other thing here is what they call the incomprehensibility of the kingdom growth. We can't comprehend the way God grows his kingdom. And the writer is very specific. Have a look again in your Bible. Look at verse 27. It says this, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. Guess what he says? He says, and he knows not how. This is surprising. This is surprising, dear friend, because when we are farmers, we are people in agricultural sector, like our dear brother Isaac, you don't expect a farmer who is ignorant, who doesn't know how plants grow. But in this parable, the sower doesn't know how it's going to grow, how it doesn't grow. It's a surprise, dear friend. The sower does not know how the seed grows, which highlights the mystery of the spiritual growth. The spiritual growth is mystery. We don't know how God grows his kingdom. We don't know how the baby grows inside there. That's a mystery of God. At the end of 9 months, after a long period of gestation, you know, a woman goes into labor. He has a beautiful baby coming. The Lord was busy knitting the baby inside, you know, organizing the eyes and the nose and everything. We just don't know how he does it. That's the mystery of God. At the end of 9 months, you just have promise. The baby is born. Promise Ngoma. This is how God does. It's really a mystery of God. He's growing his kingdom. I want to encourage all of us here that we must trust God in way he's growing his work. It is beyond our understanding. The sower here doesn't even know how the seed grows. It emphasizes that even diligent sowing does not guarantee understanding of how God works in the hearts of people. Let me say that again. It emphasizes that even diligent sowing does not guarantee understanding of how God works in the hearts of people. You know, I've worked very hard on this passage. Even if I've worked very hard in this passage, and then after sometimes going into prayer and pray, even this morning I woke up and Susan was like, are you still on your phone? I said, I am working on my sermon. I am busy trying to change my introduction. How am I going to start? Even when you work very hard on the text, it doesn't guarantee that you will understand how God grows his kingdom in people's hearts. That's still a mystery. It's a mystery of God. It is incomprehensible. It is beyond me. This is God's way. This is not my work. Sometimes when I get frustrated and I begin to think about Christ at Lusaka, my bishop in South Africa would call. There are times that we discuss and I share with him some of the difficulties that I go through. He tells me, you know, Paul, you know, that's not your church. Go sleep. Go sleep and get up. Just be faithful in the preaching of the gospel. That is your work. And then the growth, it is beyond your understanding. This is God. We can see all this growth. We must celebrate in our church. God is busy doing that. The other thing I want you to see there is a sovereign process. Wow. Look at the sovereign process of God in the way he's growing his work. Have a look at that verse once again. Verse 28. I like the way it's written there. Mark says, the earth produces by itself. I want you to mark that word. By itself. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear.
How?
By itself. It's interesting the way that Mark, the Gospel of Mark uses by itself. You know the word? In the original, that's the word automate. Automate, that's where we get our English word automatic. And this word is used only twice in the New Testament. So it emphasizes the idea that there's what we call self-generating nature in the seed growth. It grows by itself. You are not there. It grows by itself automatic by God's grace. The word automatic conveys that the kingdom grows mysteriously and inevitably and independent of human effort, understanding, or intervention. That's what it means. That's what Marx wants us to know. As long as what you've put on the soil, it is a genuine and real seed, your work is done there. The earth now begins now to produce automate by itself, without your interference, without your manipulation, without your human effort. Now the growth is beyond you. It is all depending on God. It is mysterious. It is inevitable. It is independent of human effort. We must trust that. This is a key word. You know, it underscores God's sovereign activity in bringing about the fruit of the kingdom. God is sovereign, is bringing the fruit of the kingdom. You just sow the seed of the word of God in your children. Sow the seed of the kingdom of God in that stubborn wife of yours. Just sow the kingdom of God message in everyone you meet. And from there, it is in the hands of God. Automate, by itself, God begins to oversee the process just like a little baby in the womb of the mother. It is all about God who grows slowly but surely. It is beyond human control. The second time you see this word used in the Bible, it is in the story of Peter. When Peter was in prison, you know, it appears there in the second time. The Bible says in chapter 12 and verse 10 of the book of Acts, when they had passed the first, when the angel came, he came to rescue Peter. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gates leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, automate. No one was there. The iron gate opened by its own accord, by itself. And Peter went out and went along on the street, and immediately the angel left. So when you read in the story, it describes the miraculous automatic opening of the iron gate when Peter, led by an angel, is freed from prison. The gate opens by itself without human intervention, symbolizing God's divine power at work in delivering Peter. Friends, I'm here to encourage you. When we sow the seed of the word of God, we must be encouraged that God is at work. He is at work by himself. Is working in people's hearts. Don't be too fast to see the results. The result will come. There was a woman who used to pray for the husband in Mozambique. The husband was a chakolwa. Another word you can put in your vocabulary. Chakolwa. A drunkard. The woman was a real, real drunkard of high level. And the pastor, where the woman used to go, the pastor befriended that guy without being judgmental on him. He would come and find him drunk all the time in wait, and then he said, I used to be a drunkard before. I understand the challenge. And he will go and buy some mucho po for him, some small meat, you know, for him. And then he will pick him when there's football match. He will go and pick him as a friend. Let's go and watch. And then the man was uncomfortable working with the pastor because he thought he's going to start talking about the Bible here. The pastor was very deliberate. He didn't want to talk about the Bible. He just wanted to make that person as a friend. They became friends for a very long time. And slowly he begins to plant the seed of the message of God. And he was never judgmental on him trying to rebuke him and tell me you're a bad guy, you always go out, you drink, you drink. No, the pastor was very, very, you know, comfortable with the guy sharing the gospel and patient with this guy. I wish my heart was like that one. Because many times we want to see results in the fast. Very fast, because we are so tired with the message that we hear all the time. But guess what happened? It took a lot of years. That guy was never a church member. But the pastor was always a friend in Mozambique. Always a friend, always a friend. He would come when there's a funeral in their family, the pastor would visit, showing him love, the love of God. When he is in trouble, he will come and he will call him and help him in many ways, just like that. And it's only about 12 years. How many years? 12. 12 years later, this guy converted. He became a Christian. And 5 years later, the pastor died. 2 years later, that man became the pastor of the church. Is the one who has taken the church to another level. Don't get tired of sharing the gospel. You don't always want to see good results fast. No, it is in the hands of God. Don't get tired. Just spread the gospel of Jesus. Share the gospel, the love of God with these people. God is busy working. God will surprise. In heaven, we'll find people, you know, that will surprise us. John Owen says there will be three wonders in heaven. Three wonders in heaven. The first wonder that will be in heaven is to find people you never thought you'll meet them in heaven. It will be a wonder. God will surprise us in heaven with many people that we never thought they would be in heaven. That's the first wonder. Don't get tired. The second wonder is to miss people you thought you'd meet in heaven. You begin to look for them. They are not there. Papa Sawariko, Tuasiwariko is not here. And the final wonder of all the wonders is to find yourself there. You are in heaven. Dear friend, this is what God does. By himself is growing the kingdom of God. Let me remind us, dear friend, that we must remain faithful in your spiritual discipline. It means to pray, continue to pray. If you are a Bible study leader, continue to share the message of God with people. Participate in worship and be faithful during times of waiting or spiritual stagnation. Just carry on, because God is busy growing his kingdom. The last point is the harvest. The coming harvest is the assurance of God's fulfillment. Have a look at verse 29. 29 is the last phase. But when the grain is ripe, I want you to take note of the word when. It's not saying, but if the grain is ripe, but it's saying when, because it is certain. This is what I call the certainty of the harvest. No matter what, God is going to bring his kingdom to fulfillment. God promises that the kingdom will reach to its full maturity. And God will make sure, we should have confidence that his purpose will be fulfilled. With or without you. With or without you, God is going to bring his kingdom to fulfillment. You may come on board, you may refuse to come on board, but know that no matter what, God is going to fulfill his promise. Come to church. Share the word of God with other people. Don't make a maker. Just come, because it's a huge responsibility. God is growing this kingdom and the kingdom of God with or without me. Who am I? He's going to bring it. There's what we call the certainty of the harvest. It's going to come. And it's inevitable. The second point is the inevitability of the kingdom establishment. God is going to establish his kingdom. Our prayer is that may your kingdom come. And there will always be fruits. And when I'm talking about harvest here, I want you to see the harvest in two ways. The first way of the harvest we see is the immediate growth that we see in people's lives, how God is changing people. Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely, the people we have in our church, as long as the Bible is being preached, we can see growth coming. We must celebrate the small victories that we have all the time. God is bringing his kingdom to stay. There's maturity coming. Dear friend, in this parable, we see a beautiful progression. The sowing of the seed, which is our responsibility. The hidden growth, which is God's mysterious work. And the certainty of the harvest, which is God's promise fulfilled. And each phase encourages us to faithful sowers to trust in God's timing and anticipate the growth. As I come to a close, let me give you two or three things to go up with. Number one, dear friends, I want you to be faithful in sowing the seed. As you go out of this place, be faithful in the sowing of the seed. I encourage each one of us to actively share the gospel of Jesus with people you meet. Don't discriminate. The second thing I want you to go as you go, take it as a takeaway, trust in God's timing, not in your own timing. Don't try to force your result. Don't want to see visible result there and then. Trust God is at work. God has got his timing to grow his kingdom. Maybe it's going to take 5 years, maybe 3 years or 4 years to see transformation in the lives of the people you are sharing. Maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 2 or 3 years, but trust the timing of God. I remind you, dear friend, that the growth comes in God's timing. The other thing I want you to take is that recognize God's sovereignty in growth. It's not about your manipulation. It's not about you doing something. But get this one. This is a good one. Be patient and persistent as you share. Be patient like a sower and be very persistent. Number five, celebrate the small victories. You know, when you see a bit of some change in the person you are changing, celebrate them. Don't say, no, I don't see any change. But when we see something changing in the life of your partner, your husband or something, you don't see it. You don't want to celebrate. You say, We should learn to celebrate the small victories. We trust God is at work, dear friend. I here encourage you to be confident in the God of harvest. He's at work. Is changing the world slowly but surely. Prepare for the harvests. I encourage you to live with the expectation of God's promises. As you go out, go and expect that God will fulfill his kingdom with or without you. With or without me, God is going to establish his kingdom. Because this is true, let every one of us be involved in the growth of the kingdom. If it means to invest your time, bring and invest your time. If you have money to also contribute in the growth of this work, invest your money in the kingdom of God as we grow this kingdom. Dear friends, let me ask you to rise as we pray this prayer together. The prayer of trusting that God, we will grow his kingdom. And I want you to pray with confidence and trust in the Lord God of harvests. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth we have heard today from your word. You are the Lord of the harvest, and we praise you for your faithful work in our lives and in the world. As we reflect in the parable of the growing side, we are reminded of your sovereignty over all things, even when we do not see how you are working. Lord, help us to trust in your perfect timing in moments of doubt or discouragement. Remind us that you are always at work beneath the surface, bringing about the growth of your kingdom. Give us patience, O God, to wait on you and faith to believe that you will bring to completion the good work you have begun. May we be faithful sowers of your word, sharing the gospel in our words and actions. Grant us the grace to leave the result in your hands, knowing that it is you who causes the seed to sprout, grow, and bear fruit. We ask for wisdom and perseverance as we live out our calling as your people. As we go forth from this place, may our hearts be filled with peace and hope, trusting that the seed of the truth planted in us today will grow according to your will. Use us, Lord, to be part of the great harvest to your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless.